Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
What's up, witches? We are so excited to have Sierra Vandervoort back on the show for another episode. If you listened to episode 81, Sacred Cycles for the New Year, you may remember that Sierra is a spiritual teacher, a yogi queen, and the founder of The Local Mystic, where she teaches women how to infuse magic into their everyday lives and guides them to meet their full potential through spiritual mindfulness practices. Today on the show, Sierra is going to be discussing her brand new book with us that just launched in April of this year, titled Your Year of Magic. This book is a moon magic journal and a witchy workbook all in one, with a goal of helping you to discover the natural power of the moon and seasons and utilize them to feel good and reach your potential. We're so excited to talk with you about this book, Sierra, and we're so freaking proud of you. Welcome back to the show. It's always a pleasure to have you. Oh my God. Welcome back, everybody. We've had so many technical difficulties today.
We got it.
We're back today. And just as we promised last week on the last episode, we have a very special guest. Sierra is back. Say hello, girl.
What's up, witches?
Oh my How's God, it going?
We're so excited to have you back on the show.
I'm so excited. This is the most fun that I've ever had on a podcast ever with y'all too. So this was like the bomb.
Yes. Yes. I love that.
We take the cake.
Yes. Also, you are the first and only person who has ever been like on the show more than once.
I feel so honored and special. This is so great.
Oh my gosh. So as you guys heard in the introduction, we're talking today about Sierra's brand new book called Your Year of Magic. And I know how extremely difficult it is to self-publish a book. And I know so much work went into this, and I'm just so excited to pick your brain about it. And obviously, like, you know, that we have been blowing your Instagram DMs up like every single day about how excited and proud of you we are. But first and foremost, before you get into this episode, definitely go to Amazon and put that book in your cart, order it, so that after, I don't know if it's on Prime or not, but so that you can like look forward to it coming in the mail. Oh my God. Anyways,
a little package of magic will already be on its way to you through the magic of the internet.
A little package of magic. I love that. So first of all, Sierra, tell us, give the listeners, anyone who may not like follow you on Instagram or may not have heard of you, give the listeners a little bit of a background about this book and like the past of you writing it, what made you want to write it.
Yes, ma'am. So I am a yoga teacher and a sort of ritual circle leader by trade. And I've been leading full moon circles either in real life or virtually during the pandemic for the last like 2 or 3 years-ish. And I wanted to find a way to like consolidate all of that information and make it like a do-it-yourself kind of thing. So after so many years of leading my own moon circles, I was, you know, kind of keeping logs of the journal prompts that we would do and the rituals that I would guide people through. And just from studying the history and the lore of all of them, I ended up with like a plethora of information on all of it. And at first I was just making little like downloadable workbooks for the women in my membership program that I run called the Mystic Members Club. And after I did that, then too, for a year, I was like, well, shit, I have a book now. So I kind of just compiled it all together and added some sort of primary information to the beginning of the book and some little conclusions at the end. And then I thought that was going to be it. I was like, well, I have the information. So now it's just done. Right. And then I just get to like put the book out there and it's just done. But, you know, like you said, it's so hard sometimes to then just take it from the information that you have and then getting it published. I had a lot of issues with the formatting was the main thing that I had, because I was being extra and I wanted my images to bleed off the page. I do have it right here, but I wanted the images to like bleed off the page. Yeah. And apparently that was like a queen of
like a tall order.
Yeah. They were like, what? You can't do that. And so it took me forever to format it and get it right to be able to have the images bleed off the page. But I freaking did it finally after like the fifth try of submitting it. And the original launch date that I had planned obviously didn't work out because I had to resubmit it so many times. And it was just really frustrating because, you know, I'm getting a lot of just automated messages saying, hey, this is the thing that's wrong, but it's not a person. It's just the same message every time. They're like, hey, you're declined because of this. And I was like, okay, but I've done that now four times. Just tell me what else to do. And it was just, it was a whole big thing, but I finally did it. And I'm super proud of myself because I didn't settle. I got to the point after the fourth time where I was like, well, maybe just like, fuck the image bleeds. Like maybe I should just, I don't know, change it. Obviously if it's going to be that much of a problem. And I sat on it for a couple of days and I'm like, no, this is what you want. This is the vision that you had. Like, just figure it out, like make it happen. So I did.
Of all things to give you like the biggest hassle, like it's 2022. Why is image bleeding off of a page so difficult?
I don't know, man. And just the way that it would look, I would make it a certain way on Canva, which is the design platform that I use that I think everyone knows and loves by now. But the way that I would make it on the page on my computer, it would look a certain way. And then I would download it and it would look centered. Everything would look perfect. And I would upload it to the KDP software, which is where you publish it. And things would be just like off center, even though it looked totally perfect and everything else. And I'm like,
oh,
this is the most frustrating little like masculine things that I'm just like not a fan of at all. I'm like, this just sucks. Like, I don't want to deal with any of that. I just liked to write the stuff. I did the stuff that I liked, and now I just have to deal with all of this bullshit. And it was just really frustrating. So I'm really glad that all that's over and that it's finally a physical thing now.
It's materialized in your hands.
That's quite literally.
Yeah. It makes you like that much more proud of yourself for just like sticking with it. And I mean, like the KDP platform, I used it in 2015 and I remember it was a pain in the ass and all I had was words. So I can't even imagine dealing with it and trying to get your design elements right. And you did all of this by yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. My God. Bless this girl's soul.
It took me a while, man. I'm a doer. I've always been a doer. I love to just like do stuff, you know, so I love having projects. I like having something to do. Yeah. So, I mean, I liked it, but yeah, it did. This is, you know, a culmination of like 3 years of work, you know, from like compiling all the information to then designing it once and then realizing that I was trash at designing at that point. So then going back and redesigning all of it and then adding in the information. So yeah, I mean, it's taken a long time to bring it all together in this way, but yeah, I mean, I love doing it aside from all of the, you know, little technical things. I mean, I like design. I think it's fun. I love writing. That's like what I went to school for. And I love magic and I love the moon and I just want to teach people about it.
Is Sierra like our love child? She loves design like you and she loves writing like me. Did we create it? Is she like our baby? <They'd> like-
Hi moms.
a star magic love child. So are you still doing moon rituals and are you still doing that virtually? Are you doing it in person or have you totally put a pause on that to like put all of your energy into your book and your yoga business?
A little. Yeah. With the last thing that you just said there, a little bit of that. We do still have full moon circles in my membership program. But I have one of my other girlfriends that leads them because she's a really talented astrologer. And the way that I teach about full moons kind of goes more along with the wheel of the year. If listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with that. So rather than teaching about, you know, the full moon in Scorpio that's conjunct at 29 degrees, whatever, like, cause that's way above my head. I teach like, hey, this is the flower moon and this is what's happening in this part of the season. You know, I'm much more kind of broad strokes. So, but I realized that at least the women in my community, they were wanting to learn more specifically about astrology. So like, perfect. I'm really good at making really cool friends. Obviously y'all are here. And I have my other friend who's so knowledgeable about astrology. So she comes in and she leads the circles in the virtual community that I have. Cool. But now that I've settled finally and in Portland, I am going to start hosting physical ones again at my yoga studio that I have, where I'll be able to teach kind of the moon magic that I do, that's more connected to the seasons and has rituals and yoga practices and journaling that goes along with energy of the seasons, rather than astrology. As much as I love astrology, sometimes it gets too granular for me and it's very individual to the person. Whereas seasons, I mean, we all kind of feel seasonal energy, you know? So that's kind of the way that I like to teach. And cause I follow along with the wheel of the year in basically everything that I do too. So it's kind of cool. Now I get to, you know, still learn from my girlfriend, Morgan, who leads the ones in our group. And then I get to kind of teach the stuff that I like to teach in the physical realm. So, yeah. So I guess yes to each and every one of the things that you said.
Yeah. What else? What else do you do in your virtual community, just for anybody listening, if they were interested in joining and getting to do the virtual moon rituals with, you said her name is Michelle?
Morgan.
Morgan.
Yeah. So she does the rituals and then I do a weekly live stream yoga class on Tuesday nights. That's like live and you can join live or it gets recorded. And then we'll do a monthly guest expert. So this past month, we had a nutritionist come in and we talked about the Ayurvedic doshas and cyclical living.
Oh, I love the doshas. I love them so much. I love learning about them.
There is going to be an episode for the listeners at some point on this channel about the Ayurvedic doshas, because how many times have we talked about them on this channel and have still not
done one? Well, Sierra, you're coming back.
I'm not an expert on that by any means. I've studied it a little bit in my yoga teacher training, but my friend Samantha, who's the one who came and led it in our group, I'm more than happy to get you guys together because she was fabulous. But so yeah, we'll do like weekly live yoga. We do a monthly guest expert. And those are always honestly the coolest, I think. I get, because I'm, you know, me. And so I don't think that I'm that cool, but I think all the other people that come in are. But so we've had people come in and teach about like sacred sexuality. And we did just like an intro to witchcraft with me and the woman who I started my first coven with in New Orleans. She came in and we talked. So that kind of always shifts. It's always centered around like energy and wellness and witchy living and mysticism in some way. And then I will lead a monthly masterclass workshop kind of thing myself too. So the last one we did was actually just yesterday and it was called Prana Practices. And it was an hour long class of yoga and breathing and mudras, which are hand gestures that were all about increasing your energy for the spring. So there's always some stuff going on and we just moved into a new community platform that I really love. Cause eventually I would love to take us fully off of social media cause I'm sick of it. So there's lots of stuff going on in there all the time. And I love it.
That's a really interesting direction to move with your branding, to want to get off of social media. But I think it's really cool if like to be able to do that. I mean, it goes with the brand to be off of social media because you're trying to focus on being present and not being distracted by, you know, superficial things happening in the world. But there's like this expectation, everybody's like, oh, you have an Instagram. Or it's like, no, you don't have to have an Instagram to like live the way you're living or run your business. So that's really cool. I actually like that a lot. Cause I'm someone who doesn't, I do social media like for other people, but I'm not the biggest social media person myself. So that's really interesting.
I love it for obviously all the reasons that all of the benefits that it's brought me, you know, because I love meeting new people. I'm a super social person and I love connecting with new people. And especially now that I've moved into a new city, it's a really great way for me to figure out about like community spaces that I want to get involved with or community leaders that I want to get to know. So I do love it for that. But the real thing, I just don't have enough self-control is the thing. And I just notice that sometimes I'm just so zeroed in and I like then just forget to like look up and like look out. And I just notice more often than not, it makes me feel more contracted than it does expansive. And I would rather feel, you know, open and like spacious. And I just feel like sometimes my brain is turning into mud, dude. I'll get like random Instagram reel sounds stuck in my head. And I'm like, this is like existence.
I feel like Brooke and I constantly always have some random ass TikTok audio stuck in our heads, and we'll randomly like say it or sing it in an episode. And in the back of my head, I'm like, I forget how expansive TikTok is and how the algorithms are so like they know the next time you're going to go take a shit. They know everything. And I'm like, okay, how many people are listening to this episode and have no idea what the fuck Brooke and I just said, but it's fine. Like it's.
Yeah. See, that's one. I've never even gotten on to TikTok because I just already am. It's already too much for me. And so everyone is like, oh, you have to, especially if you're trying to do the online business. And I'm like, you know what? It's already enough for me. Cause I have a blog too. So then I'll use Pinterest for my blog and already, yeah, between that and Instagram and even Facebook, I barely use Facebook now, but it's still like hanging on there by a thread because that's like where my grandma is. But like, I'm over it. So over it.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that at some point it's just like, what other social media is it? Are you going to have to be on to be relevant? It's just like, it's a lot. Like making, I feel like if you're going to be doing reels or TikToks, like you've got to pick one or the other. And if you want to do both, then it's just like, if you're making TikToks, just post them as your reel. If you're making reels, post them as TikToks. Cause making different content for both platforms is a whole job in itself.
Yeah.
It's fucking much. And like, I totally agree. It really does. It becomes monotonous. It really is not good for the brain of an ADHD person. I mean, like, as much as I like TikTok, like I definitely will say it has contributed to my inability to pay attention to anything. Liz and I have talked before on the podcast, like I can't listen to podcasts anymore because my brain is just
has to like, be doing something else. Like it's not enough.
Yeah. If I'm listening to a podcast, I have to be doing something with my hands to feel like I'm productive. And I hate that, but it's another aspect of my life where I don't think I live in the moment. I don't live in the present. I'm always so off somewhere else, but yeah. I'm only human. So.
Yeah. And I mean, I think a little bit of it isn't awful. You know, we're so oversaturated with it now. And like you said, yeah, it ruins your attention span because you're just used to getting a quick little hit of dopamine in like 7 seconds. And then you can scroll and you're on to the next one and the next one, and the next one. And you can just keep going forever and ever. And then yeah, it makes the real world not as appealing to you because you're not getting the same amount of, you know, instant gratification as you are from your phone. And that sucks. And that's what I don't want because I think the world is beautiful and I would rather live out here than like on my screen. So I don't know, I'm not perfect about it by any means. I'll still like scroll on Instagram sometimes. I've gotten better. I usually don't get on Reels at all now, at least when I know that I have to post one, and I'll just like literally scroll through to try to find an audio that I like. But aside from that, I don't really like to look at it very much. Cause I just, yeah, I already feel, you know, like you, Brooke, where I'm like, my mind's jumping around at all times and it's too much for me. And you're not resting when you do that. Sorry, side tangent. Oftentimes when we're like, oh, we need to like, I'm tired. I just want to relax. You'll just lay on the couch and like scroll on Instagram and you're like, this is me relaxing.
Yeah.
Your body is physically relaxing.
I'm not relaxing.
Yeah. But it's not really relaxing because your brain still has to like compute all of that information, right? And you're still feeding your brain just tons and tons of information. And even though you're like, you might be horizontal, that doesn't mean that you're actually nourishing your brain and your body at all.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah. I digress.
Your opinion on the metaverse, like, are you going to be doing virtual yoga in the metaverse in 3 years over Zoom? Like instead of Zoom, because what if it could be, because if you always have some aspect of virtual, you know, having a virtual class and it's not always in person, like at a brick and mortar, what if, like, as much as I don't want to participate in the metaverse?
What is the metaverse?
It's like virtual reality that Facebook,
what Facebook is turning into.
Yeah.
So in a couple of years, the Facebook we know is going to be like, you know, dusting off the 10-year-old shit you haven't touched. And then, so because Mark Zuckerberg knows that Facebook is going, you know, out the door. So he had to do something. And it's virtual reality. So you put on the metaverse goggles and it's like fucking Spy Kids. Like you saw that, right? You saw Spy Kids.
Yeah. The best one.
Yes. Yeah. So they're predicting that like business meetings in the next 5 years are all going to be held in the metaverse, because instead of meeting each other on Zoom, like we are now, we will just put on goggles and it'll look like we're all sitting at the same conference table together. And
what's wrong with a normal ass fucking table? Like, why does this have to happen? Like,
yeah. So what if, so I'm against the metaverse, but also at the same time, metaverse yoga sounds like it might be cooler than Zoom yoga, because what if it's almost like you're really in there with everybody and you can like walk up to someone and adjust their posture. You can like talk to them and like reach out to them. Like,
that's
so I don't know. Like, I don't want to participate, but that sounds cool.
Yeah. I'm very, kind of, I guess, sort of on the fence, but leaning definitely in the direction of no. My boyfriend will bring this up sometimes and he's all for it. He's banking on the fact that we'll be able to have bionic limbs at some point to keep him going. Because he's just like pretty ragged. Love him to death. But so he's all about it and he brings it up and I'm just too granola. I'm like, no man, in 4 years, I hope I live out in the middle of the woods. And no, I don't want to have to plug in to anything if I can help it. I don't know.
I saw an article that was saying like the metaverse as envisioned in Snow Crash, which is apparently a dystopian novel or book or movie, whatever, was a thing that people used to numb themselves when their lives were horrible. So that kind of freaks me out. There's going to be people who just straight go home and they have no social lives or anything. They have no family at home. So they just go and put on their like Oculus headset and like go sit in a hot tub or something with like strangers across the world and like jack off or something. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. This just sounds really sad.
I can definitely see that being a huge issue where people spend so much time creating their perfect life and the life they want to live in the metaverse, but not in real life. And I mean, that's exactly how it was on Spy Kids. Like they went in there looking for somebody, right? Because you put on the goggles and you don't want to take it off. Like you don't want to go back into real life and go to your job or go deal with your bad roommate or, you know, whatever it is, because you make this great life. Maybe you get super rich in the metaverse, or you've got like this huge mansion and then you take off your goggles and you're like, shit, I'm in this 300 square foot apartment. I want my mansion. Like, you know,
it makes you wonder then, not to get like super heady or whatever, but to be like, well, then what constitutes your reality? You know, cause if that's what you believe and that's what you see and that's what you're, you know, existing in, is that then your reality? Or I don't know. To me, I'm thinking then too, if just something gets unplugged though, then it could all go away. Like it could all fall apart at any point. So I don't know. I'm not a fan.
And I could spend an entire episode talking about what really is reality and the Matrix, or am I a Sim character? Like I could spend a long time talking about that.
Yeah, I know. But if we're talking about the whole digital versus analog thing, you're asking the wrong girl. Like, look at all the fucking records I have. Like Spotify exists. And here I've got just like tons of giant obtuse objects that probably, yeah. But I'm a sucker for, I don't know, real life things, I guess.
Yeah, me too. I know I can't take it with me when I go, but I like to have my collection of many items, my records and books and notebooks that I'll never fill up. Like I feel you on that. And I, you know, maybe we're just like, internet came about when we were little. So we've lived with it our whole lives. We've watched movies about like the dangers of the internet. We've watched, now we're watching a younger generation grow up and learn how to use an entire other side of the internet that like we don't really understand fully, which some people might feel like, oh, that makes me feel old. I kind of feel like we lucked out. Like, I kind of feel like we got the best days of the internet before it like takes over our lives.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it definitely does take you, it's a whole other world. Like, it's really weird to think there's a whole world inside of this that exists like outside of me, but like I'm a part of it. Like, yeah. And for the listeners, I was holding up my phone, my giant ass phone that has no reason to be this fucking big. But I don't know. Our brains all just bounced off of each other and blew up into the metaverse where we're talking about, oh yeah, moon magic and yoga. And then Liz mentions the metaverse and we
reality.
Well, okay, so I wanted to ask, are you gonna be recording this to make an audiobook?
That's an interesting concept. I maybe, but the thing is, a lot of it is journal based, so I guess then you still could do that. You just recite the journal prompt and then leave space for people if they do want to do it that way. I don't know, maybe. Are audio journal books a thing?
I don't know. You could be the pioneer for it. Yeah. Be the first.
We've talked a lot about audiobooks on the channel because Brooke and I have both been trying to be able to read again because our attention span due to ADHD and social media is just shot. And it feels impossible sometimes to sit down and read a book for even 30 minutes because my brain needs more dopamine. We have both successfully been reading and finding ways to do that, but also, at least I have really been into audiobooks because that's something that I can do my laundry or I can draw my iPad or, you know, I can do something while I'm listening to the audiobook and still get to experience a book when I want to, even if I am not feeling like I can sit down, hold it and read it. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's also like, it's another, an addition to accessibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Definitely consider it. I thought about doing, cause like I said, I use KDP, which is Kindle Direct Publishing through Amazon, and obviously Kindle, they specialize in eBooks or they want you to do eBooks too. So I was even thinking about how to make the journal book an eBook, right? And so figuring out if people would even want to, if they have it on their iPad or whatever, and if there was a way that wasn't going to be really obnoxious to like write on the page on your iPad or on your phone. So I think whatever the software is that you need to do to put like a text box in the places where they would need to be. But I'm still sitting on it right now. I guess if you're listening, maybe let us know if you would like an ebook or not. Or maybe then I should just be like the purest bitch that's like, no, you have to get the physical book then. If you need to experience it, you're not allowed to do your laundry while you do it. This is intentional magic. Damn it.
That's true. Like the point of the book is to also like focus in on something and not, you know, take a break from the world and focus on yourself. So that's true. That's very true.
I was going to
say. Okay, so comment on this post and let us know if you would be interested in an ebook or an audiobook. We just want the stats.
We want the stats. I think that for me, like I'm someone who I love the physical book. I love the physical. I like to sniff it. I like to hold it. I love like physical books. She likes to chew on them. It's a win-win everywhere, Mia. But I also really love writing on my iPad with my Apple Pen. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I could totally see that like, because the book, I guess I'd call it the interface if it was like digital, is so colorful and beautiful. I can just imagine like coloring on the page, not color on the pages, journaling in the pages, like opening up your year of magic on my iPad. But I don't know. That's another thing is like being realistic. I would probably finish a book quicker if I had it in my hands. I'm just not a digital reader. Like I'm still not. And if I were you, I would be the purest bitch and be like, it's your year of magic and it's not magical if it's not in your hand.
God. Magical. Yeah. No, I see, because I don't, but I don't think outside, you know, sometimes we don't think outside of what we experience and what we think. So I'm kind of like you, Brooke. I spend so much of my working time on a screen that when I'm trying to then relax and do other things, like that's the last thing that I want to look at is another screen. Like I need a book or a magazine or something. Even, you know, my partner, he works physical labor job all day and he comes home. He's done with work. I'm done with work. He's like, you want to watch a movie or a show or something? I'm like, no, I do not want to look at another screen like at all. So, but it, yeah, maybe people would like it. And like, I have the draft, the editable copy. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe we'll just fuck it. We'll just throw it out there. See if anyone likes it.
It's so interesting to hear the back end of creating books. I mean, Brooke has published, and then you have now published, and we had another, which actually she was our first guest, and she's also an author, Veronica Varlo. And it's just, it's really cool to like put a face to the person who's writing and like also get to hear things like, oh, I have collected a journal of very useful information for the past couple of years. And because I mean, nobody knows that unless you like write it in the book, how long it took you to make these things and what the inspiration was and like funny stories or like road bumps that you ran into that nobody knows when they're just clicking and buying on Amazon. So it's like really cool to get to hear the story of what goes into book writing. And I'm sure a ton of our listeners are interested in book writing and self-publishing. And it seems like a really, at least for me, from my perspective, that has always seemed like a really daunting, like, whoa, like you're going to publish a book, like that's crazy. But it's not like you can do it. Obviously it's still hard work, but it's not like you don't have to go find this giant publishing company to sign you on. And just like another confirmation for people listening who want to write a book, like you can totally write a book.
Yeah. Especially with all of the software that they have out there now, you don't even have to use Amazon specifically like Brooke and I did. There are other ways you can do it too. The thing you do have to think about, though I will say, cause it's something that I've been thinking about a lot too, cause I do also have a couple other books that are published the traditional way through like a publishing house. It's complicated. They're like not in English, but I wrote them in English, but they're published with a French publisher. It's a long story, but they, and that was, you know, the more traditional way. And it's, you kind of have to decide how much work you want to put in for sure. And then how involved you want to be in the process. Right. So with this book, with Your Year of Magic that I just made, I was in charge of writing it and designing it and formatting it and submitting it. And now I'm also in charge of promoting it and selling it and advertising it and doing all these things. So yes, I didn't have to wait until I got a yes from anybody to do it. I could just do it myself, but now I am in charge of every single step of the process. There's no one else that's helping me. Where when you go with the traditional route, yeah, you have to wait, or you have to, you know, sell yourself to publishers and you have to wait until you get a yes, if you ever get a yes. But then they are handling a lot of that. Once you get a yes, then essentially you don't really have to do anything. And I don't know how the royalty figures compare necessarily, because like my other contract was all in French and I just skimmed it and looked for numbers and signed it. But then I was like still a sophomore in college when that came out. So I was just excited. I was like, I don't care. You can give me a penny. I'm just, yeah, sure, do it. That might, you know, influence your decision too on how much royalties you're going to get. But that's definitely something to think about too. If anyone's interested in writing a book, you know, if you just want to write it and be done with it, then, you know, traditional might be the better way, but you have to be prepared to, you know, pitch yourself to a lot of people and probably get a lot of no's, honestly, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It does seem very, the publishing house route has always seemed very daunting to me too. And
I don't like being told no. So that was why I went the self-publishing route as well. Also, like, I don't know. I mean, every step is definitely in your hands, but on the plus side, like, you get, it's on your time too. Like, there's no big deadline. So that's also, if you're listening and you're like, oh, this is something I've always wanted to do, that's another big pro of it. If you don't like being rushed, you don't deal well with authority, like Elizabeth. Then maybe you want to go the self-publishing route. But what was your favorite? It sounds like your least favorite part was like the design element, like KDP fucking with your shit. But like, what was your favorite part, like, of putting it together? Was there like a moment where you just had this like golden feeling of like, this is going to find its way into the hands of like the right people, and this section's my favorite, and this section means this to me? Like, for anyone who's already maybe already bought it and is listening to this episode with the book in their hands, like, so that they know what pages are the most special to you.
Ooh, oh gosh. Well, the design part was fun, but like I said, I've always been a writer at heart. That's what I've studied. And even before I went to college, I was, you know, writing poetry in high school, really dramatic poetry, and you know, really awful teen romance fiction novels in middle school and stuff. So I've always loved to write. So the writing aspect of it obviously was really great. But two, so I'll just go over a little bit how the months are formatted. It's kind of like a journal slash planner, but it's all undated, so you can start using it at any time of the year. But for every month, you will get a undated calendar where you can write your intentions and write out when the full and new moons are. And then it will go into kind of a broad overview of the energies of the full moon and the month. And then if there is a Sabbath or equinox or solstice that month, then it'll, you know, tell you a little bit about that. And then how other traditions have historically celebrated the full moon as well. So you get a little bit of history, and then the journal prompts. And then the big meaty part is the guided ritual that's kind of after that. And so those were kind of always my favorite, and they look really different across ones. So some of them, like for the summer solstice, it's like a guided yoga series where there's pictures of, you know, like me out by the river doing some yoga, and I like walk you through the poses. And some of them too, like for Samhain and for Yule, it's like a ritual guide. So I just give you like four or five different ways that you can celebrate the Sabbath. So those were always the most fun for me to write, because as much as I love journaling for myself, that, you know, is more so on the reader's end, right? I just come up with the questions, and that's really for you to dive in deep. But the parts that I really loved were crafting the rituals and writing the words in that aspect for you. And I don't know me which one would be my favorite. Oh my gosh. I'm even like, wait, like,
okay. So if you don't have like a, you know, a favorite, which I totally get, the next full moon is the full flower moon. And that's like May 15th and 16th for anybody listening in the year of 2022. And so what is, without like giving away all your secrets and everything in the book, what is like one or two things that you could tell our listeners? Like, what's one or two things that we could do to celebrate the flower moon, or what's something you could use the flower moon to do?
Yeah, for sure. So I did, I flipped to the page, and it was really great. And there are, okay, so we're talking about images too. There are all these like really pretty like image pages. And then for May, your guys' faces, you're making my heart melt. I'm so happy that you think it's so pretty. For everyone's listening, I'm sorry you couldn't see their faces. You really should have. It was just total like awe and like, love and appreciation as I showed them these pages. But the ritual that I have in here for May is actually a tarot spread that connects you with the triple goddess energy. So there's a little image of the triple goddess. And it just tells you a spread that you can do. And I always provide little like incantations in there where you can say, you know, if you want to get super witchy with it, you like shuffle out your cards and you're like, one for the maiden, free as air, one for the mother, lovely and fair. So like, I just made it like super hocus pocusy.
How fast can this book get to my house?
I think you can prime it. I don't know. Last time I checked.
I know. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Liz, you can prime it now. The last time I checked, it wasn't on Prime. Now it is on Prime. So scoop that shit.
And that, I have no control over any of that. I don't know how they decide whether I'm prime worthy or not. I don't know.
That's actually really funny that's the page that you turned to and talked about the triple goddess and the maiden and the crone and the
mother.
And that's something that I want to reconnect to personally, because I felt really connected actually around this time last year, when I just had interests in deities and learning more about what they were, or even just like channeling the energy of a deity and trying to embody a certain deity when I needed more of something that one of them had. And I had been really drawn to Artemis and then also Hecate, which I don't know if that's how you say it. Mm-hmm. And Hecate is like the triple goddess, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's actually something I recently have wanted to feel more connected to, because I just got so busy, which is totally fine. Like, I mean, essentially I was trying to channel Artemis when I wanted to like quit my job and start a whole new career and a whole new life for myself. And, you know, she's the goddess of the hunt. And like, I wanted to be shot into the next like phase of my life. So I was channeling her. And then I like the shit worked and I got really busy. And now I want to like come back to, you know, just like strengthening my spirituality again and bringing it more into focus, because I've been so career focused, which is, it's like, it's worked out really well for me. I'm really happy, but I need to like bring my spiritual aspect back in and make it stronger. And like, those are the, that's one of the deities that I don't know if I like, I mean, I would say I more channel the energy of a deity, and I do have like little offerings on my altar. And for Artemis, I found like at a thrift store, this little teeny tiny baby antler from a deer, and it was from a witchy seller and it was like sourced ethically. And so I have like the deer antler for Artemis. And actually the reason I have a moonstone ring that I wear all the time, because Artemis or Hecate is, the stone associated with her is moonstone. And I've always felt drawn to moonstone. So now I need this book.
Yeah. I love goddess work. And I think actually in November too, because November is Scorpio season and, you know, lots of shadow work and stuff. So there's the ritual for November in there is sort of an invocation and a channeling of Kali, who she's a yoga goddess. She's a Hindu goddess and she is badass. I don't know if anyone is familiar with just the visuals of the Hindu gods. They're usually wild. Yeah.
She's stepping on like a man, or she's got like a whole bunch of heads.
Yeah. She wears a skirt made of severed arms and a necklace made of either male heads or sometimes penises, depending
nice. On the
certainty. And yeah, she's like bright blue and always has her like tongue sticking out. She has like four arms and she's just wild and crazy. And it is this energy of just like total chaos and destruction. But from that, you know, you have to have the death and the destruction in order to have the rebirth, which is very November, very shadow work. So yeah, that you can learn more about Kali in that chapter too. But yeah, I love working with the goddesses. It seems very intuitive to a lot of us, I think, especially as women, because we innately sort of look up to one another, maybe look up to men too, you know, depending on how you identify energetically. But you know, that's something too, I think, for people that might feel a little bit strange about this kind of stuff in spiritual work. If they're like, oh, that seems weird. It's really no different than like, I don't know, you know, when I was younger, I had posters of Joan Jett and Debbie Harry up on my wall. You know, it's like no different than that. You're just like seeing these strong female figures that you want to emulate, and you're just channeling them when you do stuff. So it doesn't have to be any different than that. You know, if you want to, then you can go get antlers and bones and moonstones and, you know, make it a little witchy if you want. But I mean, it's all just about, identifying energy that you want to emulate in your life and using that as a sense of inspiration, kind of.
By the way, for everybody listening, it is primable. I just bought it. So I'm going to have it before the full moon.
Yay! I just bought it. Oh my God, twin.
Did you really? Oh my God, yay.
We're over here like both like, finally. Because I had it in my cart and I was waiting for this refund to clear from this stupid freaking light that keeps turning off on me all the time. But they refunded me my coin because the light is faulty. And I was like, yeah, as soon as this refund hits, yeah, I'm going to give Amazon and Sierra back my money that I just got refunded to me. But anyway, oh, I'm thanks, so excited girl. For it. I'm so excited. And Liz, when you come next week, we have to make sure that we take like an adorable picture. And
oh, well, and I'll bring it with me. So we could like do a full moon ritual together.
Yes.
Journal in Sierra's book.
And yes. Yes.
Mickey, get out of this.
Yes. Yeah.
She's over here trying to get in this gift bag of Jackson's that is still here. Shame on you. I don't know what it's in there. Get the bag.
Oh, you guys, that makes me so happy. I'm going to be like there with you in spirit.
You literally are going to be here with us in spirit because we're going to be over here like taking these like meaningful photos of us on the couch reading your book. It's beautiful.
Oh my God. Yeah. And Brooke, you're like the queen of taking really dope photos. So I'm looking forward to it.
Hi. Thank you.
I need some really, so I don't really have that many pictures of me with my short hair because I really don't take selfies. And Brooke hypes me up every time I do take a selfie and post it. Because she knows I don't like, I'm just not the best at taking photos of myself. And like, I need cute photos with my new hair.
Yeah, girl.
I just had to take an entire piece of candy out of that dog's mouth. And she yelled at me. You can hear her. Cause I grabbed her and shook it out of her mouth. And she went, ah!
Oh,
you can't eat candy. She's going back over there to look for it. God, anyways, dogs are so destructive. Like, they have death wishes. Yes. Don't look at me like that. I'm going to take you out of the podcast logo if you don't get it together.
Oh, no. Mine's just too lazy to do anything. She just like is a melted stick of butter over there on the bed at all times.
A melted stick of butter. That's adorable.
My fur baby always just tries to get treats. So he howls and cries because he knows that if he doesn't stop, I'll eventually give him a treat to stop. So he'll just cry and cry and cry and cry and cry until I give him treats.
Yeah, he's definitely a treat fiend for sure. Chicken treats.
Chicken.
It's ridiculous. Like, look at this. I can't. For anyone listening, Mia is currently standing on the edge of the couch glaring at me because I took food out of her mouth. You should be embarrassed. Absolutely humiliating. God, anyways.
Oh my God.
I actually, right now, I'm on your website, Sierra, and because I was looking at your blog, the post you did on the 27th. Mm-hmm. And I scrolled down and it's literally your butter dog.
Oh yeah, the butter. Yep, there she is. Yep.
It's freaking adorable. Oh my gosh. Also, for anyone interested. Sierra offers free workbooks on her website, Full Moon Rituals for Beginners. So you can literally put your name and email in there and it will come to your inbox. I'm pretty sure that the podcast is like subscribed to your newsletter. I'm pretty sure. But I will link that also in the episode as well as her book. And you should go snag a copy. And if you do, send us a picture when it gets to you so she can post it on her story because girls supporting girls always.
Yes.
And you have free meditations too. Like there's just so much good stuff on your website.
Oh, thanks guys.
And also you make the best reels. Like they're so aesthetically pleasing. I want to throw up. Literally, I'm not even kidding. So the other day, Jackson and I were on, we were like laying on the couch or something and I was scrolling through Instagram and like Sierra definitely pops up in my algorithm often because like I interact with her stuff a lot. And so one of your newer reels pops up
And for a second, like, because your face wasn't in it for a second. So I was like, oh my God, this is so aesthetic. Like, what, who is this? And then you popped up and I was like, I know her. He's like, how do you know who that is? I was like, because she was on the podcast.
Oh, that's so great. Well, good to know. Yeah. I mean, I like stuff to look pretty. I'm trying to like get more into my feminine energy because I am very innately masculine. We already talked about that. I like to do shit and I like to give myself shit to do, but I'm trying to just like make things beautiful and pretty and soft. And like, look, I'm sitting on my big like fuzzy rug. Look at this, like sheepskin, like fake sheepskin rug that I'm sitting on right now. And I got my candles lit. I'm trying to.
Maybe that's like one of many reasons why we click so much is because Brooke and I are very in tune with our feminine energy. And we did a like fathering yourself series where we just wanted to dive into the more masculine side. And that's something that I've been trying to do a little more often is I feel more fluid with like femininity and masculinity on different days. But I like, you're like a masculine balance to our like super feminine. Yeah.
We go together like feminine.
I love it. Oh my God. That's adorable. Why do we have to live all over the US? I just want to like invite everybody over to my house. So we can all hang out.
Right. Because where are y'all? Are y'all far east or you're like center of the country? Where are you at?
Live in Denver.
You're in Denver.
And I'm in Richmond, Virginia. So yeah.
You're far.
Got PST.
We got EST, MST, and PST.
Wow.
Yeah. When I was asking Brooke about like, hey, maybe what about this time? And I'm like, what about 3 my time, 5 your time, 2 her time?
That's exactly how we booked it.
That's exactly how we talk because I got to keep things straight. I got to, you know.
Yeah. No, time zones are rough.
Yeah.
It's like a different world from 5 to 2. Like, it's a different world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, it's like dinner time here now. So,
yeah.
You know, it works out. That's the beauty of the 21st century, the beauty of 2022, as much as the metaverse is weird and online life is weird, it's very beautiful that we're able to like meet the people that we've met like online and through the podcast and through Instagram. We never would have met you otherwise, you know? That's why I don't think I could ever like totally say goodbye to social media, just because I've met like some of the most amazing people through it. So,
yeah. Okay, wait, let me have a cute little reminiscence.
What?
How did we meet? My brain doesn't remember.
Sierra emailed us.
It was me being like an over masculine ass that was like, I need to get on some podcasts because I had something else coming. So I'm like just looking, like scouring for witchy podcasts. And I was like, oh yeah, they look cool.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I sent you an email. I said, hi, here's me. You guys are great. I like this episode. Can I be on the show, please? That was it.
Yeah, literally. And I think at that time we were like, for some reason, it was like all at once, we were getting all of these like agents booking guests, but
yeah,
I kind of like didn't know how to respond to them. And Sierra, you were like one of the only people I ever responded to because I was like, oh, she doesn't seem like a jerk.
It got overwhelming and there were people messaging us that like worked for big companies. Whoa. And
scaring us. We were scared.
We had never done anything like that before.
That's wild.
Yeah. I mean, also our last episode with you, it was our last episode of the year of 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was December. And we had, I think we were at like 40,000 follower or subscribers to our podcast. Whoa. And now I think we're really close to hitting 75.
Ooh, what if it was Sierra's episode that made everything crazy?
That's insane. That's so awesome, you guys. That's so many people.
So since the last time that we've talked, like our audience has almost doubled. So for anybody listening who didn't listen to that first episode, with Sierra, go back and check it out. It's episode 81.
Sacred cycles for the new year.
Yeah, because that's when I was doing my like New Year's virtual retreat, all about intention setting and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just always doing something. That's like one of the favorite things about myself, and the thing that I need to work on is I just need to work on sometimes like not doing something.
I feel that. I think one of my toxic traits is I think I can DIY everything. So I constantly have like 5 DIY projects going on that never get finished. And my good friend here in Denver, shout out to Maria. She texts me when she's listening to the episode. So text me when you hear this. She also has ADHD, and we were like, dude, we have all of these really fun projects we want to do, but we don't get to them. And I have a studio space, and I was like, why don't you bring your project over? Because I'm like, we're talking like painting and sanding furniture and like refurbishing a lot of furniture pieces that we found on like Facebook Marketplace or thrifted or something. Yeah. And we're going to have project days where we can hang out and work on our projects so that hopefully we'll see, fingers crossed, maybe we get a project done.
That'll be fun. Yeah. I think getting other people involved sometimes is makes it way more enjoyable.
Yeah.
I agree that we were saying that the other day. I was talking about like the podcast wouldn't even be a thing anymore if it was just me by myself. Like I don't have the willpower to go on and do all of the production shit that I do. Like, no,
like let alone the production shit. There would come a time where I don't want to talk to myself anymore.
No, like I love me, but she just wants to shut up sometimes and just let.
What do you talk to yourself about for, I mean, we're almost on 100 episodes.
Yeah. What the hell do you, I don't know how, like Sierra, I don't know if you've ever listened to spiritual shit with Aaliyah Lovely, but her podcast, she has a lot of guests on regularly, which that in itself is a feat, but just having to like constantly be awake for the whole converse, like for multiple conversations per month with multiple guests anyways. But yeah, like most of the time she talks to herself and I'm just like, I really admire you for being able to carry a whole conversation by yourself for like an hour. I don't know. You kind of use it as like a vent session a little bit. And like for a minute when we were doing our like Ko-fi private extra episodes each week, it pretty much was like you're just venting into the abyss and
speaking. It was only 15 minutes. It was only 15 minutes. And it was like, what
hard
with myself
for 8 minutes. We had to stop that shit. But anyways, for the Ostara egg, why don't we make it a moon? You can use any moon emoji, any part of the moon cycle. And you comment that.
Wasn't that the emoji we used for your first episode?
Was it? No, it wasn't.
No, we used the sparkles, I think.
Oh, the sparkles. Okay. Okay.
Sparkle moon.
Okay, so this one is the moon.
Yeah, we're going to use any moon emoji and go comment it under the latest Instagram post. If you're listening to this before the Instagram post is posted, that's because I'm not fucking awake yet. Chill out. These episodes get posted at 7 a.m. and I don't wake up till like 10. Like, I'm sorry, but hold tight. And yes.
Go follow Sierra at The Local Mystic on Instagram. Check out her website and her book. And that's pretty pictures of you reading it.
Yes. Pictures of you reading it. And also Sierra's book will be linked in the description of the
Prime episode. That bitch.
Yeah. In the description of this episode. And also I will put a link to it in our Instagram story when this episode is live. So I'm so proud.
Did you order your book today, Brooke? Did you just order it today?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so we should get them at the same time. Well, I will actually, I'm going on a retreat from Sunday to Monday, like a women's retreat up at some resort and spa in the Rocky Mountains. And it'll be at my home when I get back.
Oh, what a great excited thing to come home to.
Yeah, for real. I was going to say, what a nice little gift to come
home. I'm going to go get my first professional massage. I'm 26 years old and I've never had a professional massage ever.
Ooh, they're fun. They, at least me, they make me feel slightly uncomfortable because I just feel like very, I don't know, over pampered in a way. I'm just like thinking of people that like can't eat and I'm like paying someone $100 to rub my back and I'm like, this feels odd. But don't think about, don't listen to me, don't think about that. Go enjoy yourself, get a massage.
You're not alone.
I'm the definitely the kind of person like I have to try to not fall asleep because I will fall asleep and then not get to enjoy the experience. So I have to like stay awake because that kind of thing would totally just knock me out.
Yeah.
Jackson said the same thing during his massage yesterday. He was like, I kind of like felt bad because like she started talking to me about like her son being able to do something now that he like apparently wasn't able to do because like he couldn't afford it or something, or she couldn't afford to do it. And he's like, you know, I'm over here getting this $150 massage from her and she's like talking about how her child, her, she can't afford this for a child. I was like, that type of shit, you can't. You cannot think about that
up in a massage.
I don't know why she brought it up.
But you're paying, I mean, you're paying her to do that. In that instance, you're, you know, giving her work, you know, and a lot of body workers like that, they really do love, you know, what they do. So I didn't mean to be a Debbie Downer. I just remember I've only ever had one massage in my life. And that's like all I could think about. I was like, man, really want to enjoy this, but.
It shows how you were raised and like, people who aren't raised having like weekly spa facials, whatever, like, yeah, we do when we grow up and we can have these luxuries for like, shit, what if, oh God, like I'm, oh no, what am I doing it right? Like it just,
that didn't even come to my head because like, I forget that even exists. I've never had one. I've never been offered one. We used to live in a small town. Where were you going to go get a bougie ass massage in Waynesboro? Nowhere. Nope. And I'm not even paying for this because I'm going on like a company retreat thing. And so like, it's all paid for. And I totally forgot about the massage until today. And I booked it. I was supposed to book it like 2 weeks ago. And I was like, do you have any room left for me? And they did. So.
Damn, Liz, you're making me want to get like a job beforehand. She's over here telling us about this co-working space she's in where she's getting free deodorant and shit. And now she's going off to a retreat and they're paying for her massages. Like,
maybe. Yeah, and they're the whole reason why I get to see Brooke like 3 times this summer because they're sending me to Richmond and I get to stay with her.
That's so cool.
It's so cool.
So we have an office in Denver and an office in Richmond, and that office happens to be like 6 minutes away from Brooke's apartment.
Oh my God.
It's so
weird. Universe brought me this job so I could see Brooke more than once a year.
Aww.
Yeah.
Now, how the hell are you guys going to get
out? And get free deodorant.
Yeah.
Free deodorant.
How are we going to get out to Portland? We got to manifest something to do with Sierra so we can go to Portland.
No, wait. Okay. So actually, I think this summer I was telling my grandpa, who is one of my BFFs, that I've never been to Seattle and I've never been to Portland. And both of those things are on the list. And I'm trying, he was like, well, I don't really want to go to Portland, but I want to go to Seattle. So if you want to go to Seattle, we can go to Seattle together. So I was originally going to try and do it all in one trip, but I think I am actually going to end up having two, like a Seattle trip and a Portland trip. I don't know when the Portland trip is, that I haven't even planned it yet, but what if Brooke and I plan a Portland trip together?
Oh my God. That would be so fun. Yes.
Oh
my God. Wait. And can I tell you guys something that I haven't told anybody yet, that I haven't announced it all yet?
What?
I'm doing, actually, I just got, like, we just, whatever, approved it the other day. I'm doing a witchy yoga retreat the weekend before Halloween in the Redwood Forest at a Buddhist retreat center. And it's going to be so freaking great. And I can't wait. And it's going to be wild.
I want to attend this.
Oh my God.
We're still, you know, like solidifying the description or whatever, but we figured out the itinerary and everything. And the other girl that I'm working with, she's like a body worker. So she has a class where she's going to teach like pole dancing and twerking. And then we do an ecstatic dance practice, and there's like journaling and hiking, and you can go get all the massages that you want. But yeah, it's, we just approved it the other day.
The universe literally just manifested us going to Oregon.
I'm so excited.
I want to do it. I was literally looking up pole dancing classes in like January because I was like, I want to learn to do that.
How fun would that be?
Yeah. Why the fuck not? There's like 20 pole dancing studios in Denver, so.
Hell yeah. That's just a little like breaking news on the local mystic front for your listeners.
Exclusive. You heard it here first. Are you going to be, I'm sure you're going to be like posting that on your social media, because like I just need to know when the tickets go live.
Yes, ma'am. I will. Yeah. I'm so excited because I've been trying. Sorry, is not to go on another tangent, but I was also trying to manifest a Redwoods retreat for a while, and I was trying to do it all by myself. And it was hard and I couldn't do it. And I wanted to get us in a beautiful Airbnb, like in a treehouse, but then I have to pay for it myself first and foremost. And I was like, I don't have fucking money to put up 15 people for a weekend in a really nice place. Yeah. So I had kind of like given up for a minute and I was like, I just don't know what to do. And then, yeah, I found this retreat center and I've been messaging them, and it's, they make it so easy. They're like, hey, yeah, we'll take care of everything. You just come and teach and bring people. Yeah. So
I can't wait to hear more about that. I'm going to be watching your Instagram.
Do you do sponsors with your events?
I haven't, but I always kind of have it floating around in my head.
We'll have to chat later, because maybe we can like work together to get you some sponsors so that you can, you know, do more things at your events. And I do that now, so we should talk later.
I'm like on cloud nine right now. I was so tired when I got here today. And now I don't know if it's the coffee or you guys, but I'm like ready to go. Let's do something.
Oh my gosh. I love you guys. I'm so happy to know both of you. I'm so grateful for I just love friendship. It makes me happy. We're absolutely going to manifest. We're meeting Sierra this year. We're manifesting.
I'm going to that fucking retreat.
If y'all have never been to the Redwoods yet, you'll love it. It's so gorgeous.
I've never been
to the Redwood Forest, like on the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge. I think it's Muir Woods. So I've been to Muir Woods before, but I haven't been to Oregon at all.
Yeah. Well, these ones are in California. So the Redwoods, they're so stingy, which I mean, they're allowed to be because they're beautiful and a million years old, but they're only, in a really short period of time. So you get like, they can grow in Oregon. There are some around here, but at least the big, huge forests and like national parks, they're mostly from San Francisco up and like in Northern California.
Oh, okay. Where is this? What is it?
The retreat center? It's in Northern California.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. So I'll be probably driving down there in my big old van. Well, my boyfriend will drive. I'll sit and go on for the ride. I'm excited.
Oh, I can't wait to hear more details about that.
Hell yeah. Oh, this is such a nice end to the week.
Yeah. I know, right? It's Friday right now and we're recording. We're just going to go off into our weekends and be great.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Oh my gosh. Yay. Well, everybody stay tuned for that. Grab your copy of Sierra's book. Stay tuned for, go follow her on Instagram so that you can stay tuned for her announcement for later this year about this retreat in the Redwood Forest. For any of our listeners who are on that side of the United States, you can easily get your butt up in there. You don't have an excuse. But also, oh yes. Okay. One last thing before I end this. If anyone is still listening and had listened to our last episode and heard Liz and I talking about the Moment House event, that event is virtual. I don't know why I didn't say so. I just said it was live, but just so everybody knows, like, it is a live event, but it is also virtual. We're not going to be at like some stadium or something. It is Liz and I will be together, but it will be virtual. So when I say like, you can buy your tickets, this is like an online ticket. Cause someone had commented and they were like, I wish I could be there. And I was like, girl, why can't you? It's virtual. You don't have an excuse. So, but anyways, so yeah. So hopefully by the next episode, we have some more, we have more details about that and ticket prices for you guys. And yeah, I just wanted to put that in there. I will most likely, we'll put a graphic up at some point this week about this. We can't put all this off to last minute.
Yeah. And we need to remember, Brooke and I are so bad about remembering to say things at the beginning of our podcast. We always get to the end and we're like, oh, wait. So yeah, we'll post information about it on our Instagram so that you can go check that out as well. But it's gonna be super exciting.
Yay! Okay, anyways, I'm so excited for my book to get here. Sierra, I will be sure to message you as soon as it arrives.
Yay!
And we will talk to you guys next week.